you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into a special edition of the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. The prodigal son has returned. Vinny Goodwill is going to join us to update us on what's going on in his life and his career and also talk about the resurgent Bulls. We're also joined by Kendall Gill and our Bulls beat reporter, Kelly Krull. So we got a full house here, plenty to talk about. Vinny, I want to start out talking about your new life, your new job. What kind of things you working on and how you enjoying it?
Well, you know what? It's different being around the team every day where you kind of, the team sort of makes the decision for you how you're going to cover it because of availability and everything. So being around and having the whole league to cover, story of the day, game of the week, that type of stuff is really exciting. It's a lot different than your normal activities, but it's fun. It's refreshing. You get to see different players around the league and develop relationships with them and things like that. So it's really fun. I would say I miss some of the things around here.
You miss Kendall the most, right?
I miss being right and throwing it in the face that I'm right all right. The time. That's what I miss.
What was it you said to him about his beard the second you walked in and saw him today?
He got some age on his beard.
He got some age on my beard.
He didn't really have that last year. He's like, James Earl Gill or something like that.
I got the Sean Connery look, but like distinguished gentleman.
Yes. Is that what that
Benson,
is?
Benson
wants that, Kelly.
Gray hair?
No, you want that distinguished look. I don't need that. Don't worry, young man. You might get there one day.
I'm a good-looking 30-year-old. I don't need to have to fake it at this point in my life.
Okay.
Hey, we know Chicago traffic is bad. What's living in New York like?
Worse. No, but you know what? The trains and all that type of stuff sort of cuts a lot of that sort of driving traffic off for you. But I would tell you, there's no easier transition from big city living, from Detroit to Chicago, and then from Chicago to New York. It's like a natural sort of progression, especially in rent prices.
Yeah. You humbled yourself enough to take the train?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if I know you, you're a car service guy.
Car start, can let me say stuff like that.
You he's not making that kind of money
he's,
yet.
He's humbled himself to take the train.
Oh my!
I'm kind of liking this version of Mr. Goodwill.
I have a question for you. I hate to take away from all the fun, but you mentioned the relationships now that you have to have with all the guys across the league in order to kind of do what you're doing. Explain how that's so different and so much harder in a way than when you're with the same 12 guys day in and day out.
It's difficult, it's not impossible. Sometimes guys know who you are because they've seen you on TV and you can walk and introduce yourself and they're like, oh, I know who you are type of thing.
See, there you go. I took the humble right out of them.
No. But it is kind of, it throws off because you're used to introducing yourself and trying to have to build an instant rapport with a guy. Sometimes they don't know who the hell you are either way, but when you're covering a team every day, you can ebb and flow with them. You got your good days. They have their good days. And you can sort of ride with each other. And if I don't get you one day, I can get you the next day. You're a national guy. Sometimes you're in a city for 24 hours. So if he's having a bad day, you got to make it a good day. So it can be bad. It can be good. It's different. But covering a team every day, having that level of familiarity, there's nothing quite like that.
You know, Kendall, we have – Vinny develop his on-air skills. Now I see him out there. He's doing all kinds of digital shows at Yahoo. Tell us about the broadcasting element of what you're doing.
Well, Yahoo and Turner Sports have basically joined together to create this show called The Bounce, which is like a online component. Like basically, like if you're not at a game, but if you're watching a game on TV and you have your Yahoo app up, we're basically watching the game with you. We're having certain conversations with it. We're not taking the place of you watching the game. We're just basically complementing it with other scores from around the league, conversations, that you would basically have in your living room with us as if you were sitting there. Okay. So it's like 3 hours straight, which means it's really tiring. Your energy's got to be up and everything else, but it's really fresh and it's something new. And you're starting to see sort of that sort of fourth wall sort of be broken down between TV and internet and, you know, sort of this gray area that we're all trying to find our way to enter into, streaming and all this other type of stuff. So it's been fun so far.
Do you guys cover, say, for instance, the game in the East Coast, then Midwest, then West Coast?
We got every game up. Like, I'm there on Wednesday nights.
Every game at the same
time? Okay. So every game that's up on Wednesday nights, we'll do live look-ins.
Okay.
And we'll just basically not necessarily focus so much on the game itself, but the greater conversation around the game. Like, so right. If we peek in on the Bulls, then we'll talk about, hey, how's Lauri Markkanen playing? Where are the Bulls going forward? Okay. Not necessarily on the X's and O's okay. of the moment. Sort of like if we were watching us, if we were in the post-game set, if we were doing that and just had a camera on us for the entire time,
right,
and we were just watching every game around
okay.
the league, basically that type of thing. So
what have your conversations about the Bulls been like then when you're peeking in?
Well, it depends on what time of year we're talking about, right?
What about right now?
Right. Well, right yeah. now, Kendall, it's more positive.
Okay.
Because Zach LaVine, people aren't asking the question of should they have matched the offer sheet. Lauri Markkanen is, okay, now we're starting to see him expand his game. He's not just a three-point shooter. He was, remember last year when he scored 20, we would be like, yeah, okay, we think he can do this. Now he's scoring 30, and nobody's blinking an eye anymore because of the month he had, 25 and 13 in February?
Right.
Like, those are all-star numbers if you're able to hold that up for, you know, basically for a six-month span.
Yeah.
So they've done some things right. Look, contrary to belief, I've always said the Bulls, their problem was never in selecting players. Mm-hmm. To me, it was always in team building and coaching. Clearly, hiring coaches and the narrative surrounding coaches and everything else, I think they'll admit to that. But I think in the draft picks have been solid. The Jimmy Butler trade has turned out to be solid for them compared to Minnesota.
Oh, I can't believe
Jimmy
it.
Trade
I can't
is believe solid.
It.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it.
Solid.
Hold up.
I said
solid. Let me text Jimmy real quick. I got to tell him what you said.
Solid. I didn't say great. I just said solid. You can't quibble with Lauri Markkanen and Zach.
No, I mean, Markkanen is going to be a multiple-time All-Star
Absolutely.
In the league. And Zach, I think, has finally bought into what they're trying to get him to do in terms of being more efficient, less shot attempts, more assists, more efficiency. And I think that's been a big reason why they've been playing better in this draft.
Well, I think, put it like this, it's hard to have so many ball handlers on the starting unit.
Right.
Like, if you're going to have Chris Dunn and you're trying to make Chris Dunn this point guard where he doesn't necessarily have the point guard instincts, an aggressive instincts, but not point guard instincts, then you can't do that and then have Zach LaVine also be a ball handler facilitator. Someone's going to have to take a step forward or a step back, and I kind of wrote about that a little bit last year because they didn't play together much, and when they did, it looked so disjointed. So now when you put them together on the floor at the same time, there's going to have to be some level of hierarchy,
yep.
and Chris Dunn is clearly the one with the step back, as it probably rightfully should be when you consider where Zach and where Lauri are performing right now.
You know, Kelly, we talked during the pregame show on Sunday about Otto Porter Jr. not really being a vocal guy, but the attitudes of the other guys in that locker room. They've already said that, you know, his attention to detail in practice, the fact that he'll ask questions during the film sessions, even though he's only his sixth year in the league and he's, 25, 26 years old, they look at him as a leader. What has been the impact of Otto on the other guys in that room?
Exactly what you're saying. I think that while he's not the guy that's going to rally up all five guys or, you know, the other night and say, okay, you know, we need to do this or we need to do that, I do think he's in the ear of individually guy here and there and will point out. I think he's a teacher. I'm watching it happen, you know, behind the scenes. I think he'll point things out to Zach or Lauri especially because I think he sees certainly those guys want to take the next step in their game and they're willing to do whatever it takes. And he's got that experience that he can kind of hand down. I just think he's still kind of finding his way, though, maybe from a vocal standpoint as to when he can get in there and say. But whenever he speaks up, I mean, according to Zach, whenever he has spoken up in certain points, whether it be the film session or whatever, all ears are listening. So he has that kind of rapport in the locker room already.
And you know what's most important? And Vincent, you tell me whether you agree or not. He's only 25
yeah.
years old. These guys are the youngest team in the NBA. You're starting to see what the future could hold for them if they keep this core together and they add another veteran. Mm-hmm. I think that the Bulls are poised to make a huge jump next year, barring any injuries whatsoever. If they can keep this whole team healthy, I think that we're looking at a similar
Didn't
jump.
Didn't you to say what this last year?
Similar jump to what the Sacramento Kings did this year.
You know, and we both said that last year. We'll admit we were wrong.
You just got lucky.
But
had they been healthy, you might have been right.
If they hadn't had all those injuries right off the bat.
That's what I'm trying to tell him. If they had been healthy, I would be right.
But see, I don't. But
and Vincent, as far as his opinion is concerned, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Oh, goodness.
I like that.
Could
you please move back, please?
Wait, did you just say that?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm having fun now.
There's also a saying that I like saying, if it ain't broke, don't break it. And I'm always right, Kendall. So I will say this.
Oh, my God, no, you're not.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did say that. I will say this. I actually somewhat agree with you. I don't think they'll make the playoffs next year.
Oh, they should.
They should make the playoffs next
year. I put it like this. I think the East will be markedly better.
Are the Knicks going to get two guys?
They're going to get somebody.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get somebody. And I've been telling KG that for the past year and a half. They're going to get somebody. So if you count on them being better, if you count on, you know, Brooklyn – maybe getting someone that we're maybe familiar with. If you come,
oh my God, we already know the inside information.
Jimmy Butler.
No. Jimmy Butler.
I don't mean that. I just said someone we're familiar with. I don't mean Jimmy Butler. I don't know.
I don't think they're going after Nico.
Put it like this. That's funny. I do wonder where Jimmy's future is in Philadelphia's future.
I do too.
We got him on speed dial. Call him up right now.
Yeah. Let's see how that works.
Right, Mark. Call him up.
No. But I will say this. Sacramento is a really good example. Mm-hmm. And the difference is there are no expectations in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So those kids can play loose and free, right?
Yeah.
Here, there are expectations. There has been a championship pedigree. There has been a level of sustained success. Not the highest level, but a decent amount of success. And you wonder if they're going to play to that. If they're going to say, we got to make this jump now to make a personnel move to get up out of this, you know, three-year rebuild. Like, this is not a long process just yet. This is the second year of a rebuild. That's why I was telling Kendall, you're not going to go from trading Jimmy Butler to being back in the playoffs 18 months later. That's not going
to
happen.
But we don't know that. If
that's not what's going to happen, Kendall.
If you were sitting here with me right today and the Bulls had not gotten injured the way they did earlier in the season, then I would agree with you. But
what about coach firings and hirings and mutinies and all that other type of stuff?
Had there been no injuries, there would be no coach firing. Everything would be.
Oh, I think Fred would have been gone regardless.
I don't think so.
I think Fred had.
Because I think he would have had them in position to be in the playoffs, right?
I think that they had long been off of Fred a long time ago. And I think not that the injuries were a convenient excuse or whatever, but a lot of times if an organization wants to keep you, they will keep you. They will say to injuries, hey, look, you know what, Fred? These injuries have been there, and we're not going to hold that against you. They said,
they
we don't care about
fired him one game after Lowry came back.
Right.
So that clearly to me that lets you know that they weren't about giving him a chance to prove himself because they had already had their minds made up. You're looking at it from an X's and O's talent standpoint. I'm thinking inside the building they didn't like the way he did things. That injuries or no injuries or no rosters have nothing to do
but,
with.
But even if you don't have the injuries and everything, I don't think that they're going to fire a coach that's being successful. There's no way you could do it. And if they didn't
they
have injuries.
They fired Tibbs.
Well, that was different.
That's a tough one to come back from.
That was a tough one to come back from. But that was different. Fred wasn't trying to be the head shot caller. And you know,
no, I'm just saying. But I'm not getting into the minutiae of it. I'm just saying, teams fire good coaches all the time.
I got another one for you, just to take you down a different avenue. Well, a little bit along the lines of
down a different rabbit hole.
So yeah, exactly. Thank you.
See how much trouble I'm gonna get in now. Well, Kevin crossed on line one.
No, I'm curious now. Now that the last 2 weeks have looked like they have for the Bulls, 2-3 weeks, you're talking to guys from all around the league. What is the perception, or have you even asked or heard anything about the Bulls team now doing kind of what they're doing? And what is Jim Boylan's reputation from afar that things have appeared to
it's going to take a long. It's going to take a while because I was telling someone else this earlier today. You only get one chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
And Jim Boylan's first impression, unless you knew him in San Antonio or some of his other stops, this was your introduction to Jim Boylan. Some of the extreme tactics, shall we say, early. Subbing all five guys out during that game in Boston and then with everything that happened the next day.
Yeah.
Those are the things that guys see. If you're trying to turn that around, it's going to take a sustained level of success in my eyes to get guys to talk about you in a different way. Now, as far as players, All-Star Weekend, Lauri Markkanen was there. guys love Lowry. Guy who can shoot the ball. He's low maintenance. He's easy to get along with in those type of settings. He's not a huge personality, but guys can sort of get to know him. And teams have already known that they felt like Zach LaVine was talented. They just want to see him healthy right. and on a different thing. Like guys would always tell me, man, if you can put Zach LaVine and his desire inside to Andrew Wiggins, you'd have the best player in the league. So that to let you know the sort of respect that Zach has. They've always had respect for individual parts. The team building part, I think, is where we're going to see how the Bulls view themselves this summer. If you go out and try to, clearly Otto Porter was their free agent acquisition, right? Mm-hmm. You just traded Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis, who you couldn't come to terms with this offseason. Let's see what type of point guard you try to go get. Or if you want to give Chris Dunn another run.
No.
Or if,
because, I mean, I think that you can't do that at this point. I agree, but
we ain't guarding packs.
It's true.
Have you posed?
That's the one thing I agree with you on. We're a lot darker than them.
See,
have you posed your point guard thought to Vinny?
Yeah, but
well,
but
do it again.
Okay.
It.
Well, let me go on this point first, and then I'll get to the point guard situation. But this is why I think they make the playoffs last year. Boston Celtics came in here the other day. Mm-hmm. What was that? About a week ago? A week ago?
10 days ago. Yeah.
10 days ago, they beat the Boston Celtics fully loaded.
I saw that.
Okay. Now you take this game. Then you look at how they've been playing ever since. Then you take this game the other night against the Atlanta Hawks. Mm-hmm. Four overtimes, and they come out a winner. This is team building, character building, confidence building. This is why and still, Wendell Carter Jr. is not in the lineup. So this is why I think now you're starting to see them take the steps towards becoming a playoff team. Now, you add the guy who I want to add, Derrick Rose, to the mix. They go to the playoffs next year. And you're saying, well, can Derrick accept his role? He's already accepted the role, Benny. He's coming off the bench in Minnesota. He's more mature, and he can still play.
I wish people could see inside this podcast right now to Benny's body language and the fact that he hasn't made eye contact with you for probably
because
2 minutes.
Knows I'm right.
I don't know if that
is this February of is this March of 2019 or March of 2017?
Because he knows I'm
good
right.
grief! Let
you know
the
I'm
man
right.
go. Let him go, Kendall.
It's not about that. It's not about
you
that.
You told me
he was
a Ferrari. That Ferrari is now in Minneapolis driving through snow. He's a minivan. Let him be a minivan. No,
minivans averaging 19 points a game coming off the bench.
And I am as impressed.
He's averaging more points than your boy.
Wait. No, he's not.
Jimmy Butler? How much is Jimmy Butler averaging?
Jimmy's averaging 20. As the third option on a team that's trying to go to the finals. You know all 20 ain't created.
And he's starting, too. Derek's coming off the bench.
Once again, we're not getting off track here. Let me be the one to say, I am beyond impressed with what Derrick Rose has done this year. I didn't think he had the desire in him to get his body where it needed to be and to get his game where it needed to be to have this level of production.
Right.
He's in a low-pressure situation in Minneapolis where Tibbs is gone. They're playing a bunch of kids. There's no expectations. He's not chasing the ghost of MVP Derrick Rose in Minneapolis. They're just happy with whatever he gives him. Mm-hmm. If he comes back to Chicago, I don't care what you say, he will be chasing his own personal ghost of the player that he used to be, of the player that he always wanted to be in his city, his hometown, with all the other external factors that go into being a hometown kid playing for the Chicago Bulls that you know well about because you are from Chicago. Mm-hmm. You cannot compare those situations to being in Minneapolis in a low-pressure situation where the hierarchy is already set. There is no real hierarchy here. You're still trying to figure those things out. And I just think he needs to get away from that so he can be free and be fresh. I think here, put it like this, Grant Hill, I talked to Grant Hill once. This was years ago. Grant Hill had an opportunity to come back to the Detroit Pistons when the Pistons were contending, like 2007, 2008, right when they could have needed a player like Grant Hill who could have put him over the top. And he said, you know what, the reason I didn't go there was because I wanted to leave those Detroit memories as me being the dominant player that I was and not me being a reserve here trying to chase what I used to be. I think players hold on to those things. They want certain things to be pure. And if Derrick Rose is going to go to another stop or another place next year, I think he'd rather do that than be here. I think that he would rather think that than have to live up to the pressures of being Derrick Rose's former MVP because he couldn't do that when he was here after he got hurt. That was tough for him.
Well, I think that he's left those thoughts long ago. You look at the way that he's accepted the role coming off the bench. He knows when he gets back here, this is Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter. This team belongs to the young players now. He's going to come back in a reserve role and help this team. That's why I want him back. I need veterans that can play, that are in the locker room.
He's like Mike Singletary. I want winners.
that are going to help these young players through their maturity process. Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins said, if had it not been for Derrick Rose in that locker room mentoring them, they would have never made it through the Jimmy Butler situation. That shows you right there the maturity level of a Derrick
Rose. How about this? How about a guy, you want to bring a Chicago guy home? I got a name for you. I'm going to play right to your strength, Kendall Gill.
I'm not going to agree with it because I only want one guy.
Pat Beverly.
It's a possibility. They could use a guy that's
Beverly,
defense
look.
First, gets you organized
Pat
in your offense, gets the ball
tough,
the Pat
Beverly. A tough dude who's not asking for the ball, who's not asking for, you know, all and will probably love to come home. So, to me, and I'm not – look, I don't know what type of point guard you need, honestly, because I think Zach does a lot of ball handling. Not that he's a point guard, but he does enough facilitating that you maybe don't need another point guard type around him, but you need someone who can defend and hit an open shot. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Pat Beverly is a bad idea, and I think he's mature enough, too, mm-hmm. at this stage of his career. You need mature veterans at this stage of their career to help usher these
young guys. And
the
price would be a lot lower than some of these other guys.
Absolutely.
It would be a lot lower, but look, bottom line is this. I'm looking at the bottom line, too. Derrick Rose comes back. It's good for business.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Business first.
You would create a buzz.
Never personal, Vincent. It's only business.
Your eye rolls may be better than mine.
He's got the James Harden eye rolls, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I got dragged. How did I get dragged into this conversation? My goodness.
All right, before we let Vinny go, getting down to the nitty-gritty of the season, 17, 18 games left. Kelly, I want to start with you on this one.
Oh, boy.
The players have said, you know, they're not worried about draft position. That's for the front office to deal with. Do you see them sustaining this level of success through the end of the season, or do you think this is just a kind of a momentary thing where they're going to eventually sink back a little bit towards the end of the year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think if they stay healthy, like Otto Porter Jr. being out against the Hawks because of this lingering calf soreness. I think if all the guys can stay healthy, the only thing I may be concerned with is that for Zach and Lowry in a bit, this is probably the most minutes per the entire season. I know they both were hurt a little bit earlier in the year. I just don't know if the season itself will start to wear on them from a physical standpoint. But if it doesn't, I think we should see growth over the next 15 to 18 games, truthfully. I think we should see them continue to sustain the better half of what we've seen now since the break.
And they're hoping to get a look for 10 or 15 games at Chandler Hutchison coming back off the broken foot.
He's still supposed to be coming back. That's what we've heard. Yeah, and that would be great to see, too, because when he went out, we were seeing some really good ball out of him, and his athleticism is off the charts.
Yes.
Vinny, you think the new lottery odds have had their effect? I mean, we're seeing Cleveland winning a little bit now. The Knicks won a couple of games. There's really not that motivation to totally tank, try to get the worst records because the bottom three teams all have 14% chance.
Well, I think in the end what's going to happen is the results will wind up. Like, you're going to have to see the results of the odds working or not working in the team's favor.
What if the Lakers get the first pick?
Oh, that would be so – wouldn't the conspiracy theories
oh
be out?
Yeah, Zion and LeBron. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a father and son? Yeah. No. But I put it like this. I think players, by and large, are bred to compete. You can't tell a player to go out and lose on a night-to-night basis. Right. The organization
Especially young ones can
tilt the odds so that you're more apt to lose lineups and inactivities and stuff like that. So,
or you play Rolo 40 minutes like they did the other night.
I'm surprised they didn't buy him out.
Yeah,
I'm really surprised that they
didn't. Because that would have impacted winning and losing.
Not only does it impact winning and losing, but also it shows you as an organization sometimes good organizations in bad spots, they do things like that for veterans that sort of enables you some quote-unquote pardon the pun goodwill down the line with other players that we're not going to hold you hostage in this situation. We're going to let you go. If you want to go to Golden State, fine. We're not competing for a championship anyway. We're looking out for you because you've been the good soldier while you're in. And you know Robin Lopez's interactions with Nikola Mirotic and Bobby Portis, how he sort of tried to help heal that situation while both guys were still here. And also, you know, the practicing after back-to-back and the group text message and Robin Lopez basically saying, hey, guys, we got to be professional. We shouldn't do this, da-da-da-da. You would think that that sort of thing would be rewarded on the back end. It hasn't been, and maybe he wants to stay more than maybe people think. But I was a little surprised that he wasn't bought out.
Yeah, he wants to stay. And he sees the good things that are happening here, and he knows that.
Is he drinking the same Kool-Aid you are?
You know, you kind of made me laugh on that one. But yes, he is drinking the same Kool-Aid I am, because he sees the future of this team, I think, in the next couple of years. He's like, hey, this team may be special, man. You never know.
Vinny, so just be careful. It's not Guyana punch.
You know? Oh, yeah. I don't want him drinking anything in Guyana. You're right about that.
All right, last thing, Vinny. Jimmy Butler, where does he play next year?
A great question.
Will they have to offer him a 5-year max to get him to stay in Philly?
I think so. I think given – because I won't even say he doesn't seem to fit, but they have a really awkward roster. I think they're a team that's going to get knocked out in the first round.
Well, Not the first round, second round.
No, first round.
Really?
Yes.
One of them major. But they're going to be playing Brooklyn or somebody like that.
Brooklyn plays hard.
Yeah.
Every night.
And Ben Simmons can't still shoot from the outside, which is key to them.
He still can't shoot, and he wants to be the second option. Or he wants to be the first option. And Joel Embiid, we don't know how healthy he's going to be. He's having knee problems. Tobias Harris adding him there, I think if they had done that in reverse, if they added Tobias Harris first, maybe you don't go get a Jimmy Butler because they'd have more depth. Not to say that Jimmy doesn't fit, but I think for Jimmy to be effective, other players have to say, Jimmy, you're our fourth quarter guy. And I don't know if Embiid and Simmons in their youth want to give that space to him just yet. They should, but they don't want to. And I think that's been a sort of a point of contention right now.
I have a question for you, Ben. Will Jimmy ever be happy in any situation he's in?
I would hope, put it like this, and you know this from being a free agent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't choose where he got drafted to, right? Mm-hmm. And restricted free agency is what it is.
Right.
And the Bulls maxed him out. Mm-hmm. He got traded, and he didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. He was in Minnesota, probably didn't really want to be there. It was just he just made the best of the situation. And then when it went bad, it went bad. Mm-hmm. He didn't choose Philadelphia. That's where they sent him. So now he gets the opportunity this summer. If he wants to stay there, he's saying, I'm committed there, and I'm hoping to be happy. If he doesn't, he should go somewhere where he should want to be happy. And if he can't be happy now, we talk about L.A. all the time, but not we, but just saying, just in general.
Yeah, okay.
Not we.
Freudian.
No, we as in the as in NBA media. We talk about L.A. being this utopian place. But what if Kawhi Leonard turns them down this summer?
Yeah.
And what if all these other guys keep turning the Lakers down?
The Clippers have money, too.
The Clippers have money. I think that's earmarked for Kawhi Leonard. And that would be an interesting thing, having those two guys play together. I'm curious if that happens. But mm-hmm. I could see Jimmy not being in Philadelphia and being in another big city. I could see him being Clippers, Knicks, mm-hmm. Nets, Lakers, you know, pick a team. If you're offering him the full boat and it's on the terms that he, you know, the infrastructure is set and everything else, and I think certain things start to matter to him now that didn't matter to him a couple of years ago, I think he'll be fine. He should be fine. He's at the stage where he should want to be stable and want to find a home and finish out the remaining prime years of his career.
I like him with the Nets, actually. I think that's a good fit for him.
Bryce Harper might recruit him to stay in D.C. I mean, Philly.
Hey!
Nice, Kelly.
So, Kelly, this is
I've been waiting for like 2 minutes to get
that one in.
I've just been sitting on that one. I'm just kidding.
This is your first year on the Bulls beat. Any of the players confided that they're really glad that that guy Goodwill's not around?
Yeah, I wasn't going to start with that, but they're all
that's
like –
that's a good finisher,
We are so glad we finally get to have a real professional sideline reporter on this team.
Understandable.
I'm kidding, Benny.
I'm kidding.
What could have been, my friend? What could have been?
We had a lot –
We would have had a lot of fun.
Oh, look. There was 1 week where I was like, man, I wish I was still there.
Really?
You know what that week was.
I kind of guessed which week that was.
Oh, I was looking from afar.
I thought it was the week they announced that I'd be doing things.
No.
That was a nice week.
But man, when the mutiny happened and all that, oh my goodness,
it was a mutiny.
The knives were sharp.
You live for that drama.
I do. Think about it. You guys had to have a chuckle or two about that.
Well, we were thinking about what Vinny would have done if he'd have been here.
We were.
I would have been there laughing, basically. Laughing at the absurdity of it all. We're doing extra – me and Kim are going to do extra push-ups in honor.
Well, I hope all of you at home had some fun laughing at the reunion between Vinnie Goodwill and Kendall Gill.
Good,
we had a lot of fun along the way, and you know what? Kelly and I enjoyed listening to the show as well. We were basically pretty much spectators.
I'm sorry.
No. We appreciate you making some time for us. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime during the playoffs so we can talk about what's going on in
of
the postseason. So
it's always good.
Always
to be
good
back.
Catching up with Vinnie Goodwill. We thank everybody for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. For Vinny, for Kendall Gill, for Kelly Krull, I'm Mark Schanowski. We'll talk to you again real soon.